Welcome, everybody, to the big call tonight. It's Thursday, April 16th, and you're listening to the big call. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, again, and we love to have you here. We're looking forward to having a really good call. Bob is back with us again tonight after a remote entry into the call on Tuesday night. So let's go ahead and pray the call in, and then we'll look forward to hearing a teaching from Sue, which is going to be a challenge and a fun opportunity for us to grow. So let's all grow together. Lord God, we just thank you so much for everything that's going on behind the scenes, which we'll reveal a little bit of tonight. Thank you that we are prepared and are getting more and more prepared each day. Thank you for the patience that we have to go through everything we're enduring. Thank you for all that you've done and what you will do with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sue, we have been patient for a long time, and now we're looking forward to hearing her teaching tonight.
It's going to be an epic big call with what I'm going to bring.
Mm. Cool.
And especially when we talk about where we all are and how to utilize that. And tonight's teaching is called Using What God Gave You.
Yes.
Since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Romans 12:5. Discover your shape. Begin by assessing your gifts and abilities. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to. Ephesians 5:17. Try to consider your heart and your personality. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Galatians 6:4. Examine your experiences and extract the lessons you've learned. Remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. It's interesting. Deuteronomy 11:2. When Jesus washed Peter's feet, he said, "You do not realize now what I am doing." And really think about this one. Really, really think about this one. "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." John 13:7. Only in hindsight do we understand how God intended a problem for good. Were all your experiences wasted? I hope not. Galatians 3:4. Since God knows what's best for you, you should gratefully accept the way He fashioned you. What right have you, a human being, to cross-examine God? The pot has no right to say to the potter, "Why did you make me this shape?" Surely a potter can do what he likes with the clay. Romans 9:20. Christ has given each of us special abilities. Whatever He wants us to have out of His rich storehouse of gifts. Ephesians 4:7. Part of accepting your shape is recognizing that God assigns each of us a field or sphere of service. Our goal is to stay within the boundaries of God's plan for us. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. So imagine when Christ was washing those feet, what do you think the mystery he was conveying was? And that's our teaching for tonight.
That's good, Sue. Thank you for this teaching. Was that the A in shape, Sue, tonight? Or did it relate to shape it in that way?
Yeah. Kind of, I guess.
Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, okay. Kind of, sort of.
Well, I like that teaching, and you did use quite a bit of scripture in there, so thank you for that. But what I really know is that when Jesus was going to wash Peter's feet, because he was doing all the disciples, he put on a servant's towel. He got down on his knees. He had a basin of water. He was doing that, you know, washing all their feet and going through. And when it came for Peter, Peter said, oh, no, God, you know, oh no, Jesus, this can never happen. You shall never wash my feet. And then Jesus says, Peter, if I don't, you'll have no part of me. You'll have no part of me. And then Peter tells Jesus, he says, well, in that case, Jesus, wash all of me. Give me a full bath from head to toe. You know, he's like, I'm all in if that's the case. And so he did let Jesus wash his feet. But the purpose was to show us, and Sue, you brought this out in a teaching we had previously, that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. We're here not to be served, but to serve. And that whole example of foot washing was designed for us to learn, hey, that's how we're supposed to be with other people. Not necessarily getting down on our knees and washing their feet, but helping other people, like you said in the teaching, Sue, with what God has given us. Because we each of us has a gift, a talent, something that is unique and special to us, and we're supposed to use it and be that person that is a listening ear to someone, that helps another person out with something maybe physical that they need done, something at their house. Maybe it's a lawn mowed, maybe it's, you know, whatever it is. But that's where that's coming from. That's what the purpose of that teaching is. So I'm going to say there's no secret to that. The secret is this was an example for us to learn how to serve one another, even as Jesus served his disciples. So thank you, Sue. That's what I got out of the teaching. Bob, how did you see this teaching, and what did it say to you?
Well, thank you, Sue. I love teachings about service and serving, in that that's what my name means, the servant of Patrick. And I had an experience this morning about service that was just, for me personally, was absolutely miraculous. And I got up in the morning and was getting ready to get in my car for a four-hour drive. And I went into the breakfast room of the hotel I was staying at. And they served what I call coffee and chokers. And those are the cinnamon buns and the sausage patties that are like hockey pucks. So I'm sitting having my coffee and choker breakfast, and I
which
hear
you
this
weren't
lady
having.
Come,
you weren't having it. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
He's
sorry.
Only pretending to say he had it, Sue.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
This lady comes up behind me, and in a very loud voice says, "Hello, dear sir. I am here to serve you, and if there's anything that you need, anything that you want, you just let me know, and I will take care of getting it for you right away." And I turned and looked at her. She's this beautiful woman, about 40 years old, probably from India. And I just looked at her and I said, thank you so very much. And she looks at me and she goes, I just love my job and I love my life and God bless you.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's
so
cool.
This is at breakfast, right? And
yeah.
I saw her do that with every person that came into the room. She did the same thing. She went up to greet them and told every one of them, I love my job, I love my life, and God bless you. And you could tell that she really meant it. Like, she was getting joy cleaning the jam off the table that the little five-year-old had left behind, right?
Yep.
And it was such a beautiful experience. And as I was walking out, there was a man that looked like he might have been her father. And I said to him, I just got done with breakfast, and I have to tell you, this woman, and I called her by name, he immediately goes, she talks too much.
Nice.
And I said, no, that's not what I was about to say. I said, she's the sweetest lady you'll ever meet. And the best part of the breakfast was her. He goes, no, she talks too much.
That's interesting. That's so funny.
That's
of course.
Sad.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I left. So that's what I experienced this morning, and it stuck with me the whole day.
Yeah.
I can still see that look on her face. This woman was so happy to be a servant at this hotel and was so happy she just wanted to let the whole world know about it. And it was
so
great.
Good,
it was
Mom.
Like, yeah. And so I was thinking, you know, what you were saying, Sue, about what is God giving you and what, you know, what's your life path, what's your sacred contract with God. And I started thinking maybe it's not a specific thing, but maybe it's things like limitlessness that God gave us. And maybe it's like divine surprises that are on the way. And things like faith and belief and favor. And I was thinking about what this woman had said about loving her life and God bless us. And I started thinking, you know, if God has given us all of this, which, you know, there's evidence of, then what about my own evidence? Am I, in fact, living proof by the way that I live my life and by my imagination and expectations? And do those expectations along with imagination produce miracles? And can I show with my life that what God gave me is this limitlessness and those divine surprises, and that I can say, hey, listen to what happened to me today. And God sent a miracle to the breakfast room to remind us all that we should be happy because we're blessed. And this woman said so, bless you. And it wasn't her blessing us. It was invoking a blessing.
Yep,
deep from the whole of the universe that filled that room because of her beautiful presence.
Wow, Bob.
I like
that.
That
is
Bob.
So cool.
That's good, Bob. I love it when it's experiential like that, Bob. And I love the fact that this woman was showing you and the other patrons of the restaurant area, the breakfast room, the love of God. She was living and enjoying her life like we're supposed to enjoy it. And even though she was the one serving, that gave her the joy. That's why we should have that same joy when we serve others. And I know Sue has that, and you have that, and I have that, and I think Big Call Universe has that, and we'll have it in spades shortly. Thank you for that input, Bob. Sue, back to you. Ball's in your court.
So funny. I remember going to lunches and dinners and being around a table. Bob's probably going to most identify this. And you're picking up so many threads you want to comment on. You're like, your head is exploding. Right? So this is so powerful. And I think I'll start with Bob. And I'm going to be my usual polemical self. Because you know what Bob was demonstrating? He was demonstrating it is about service, but he was demonstrating something that I think is going to be very profoundly reimagined. And that is, in order to receive, in order to serve, we have to be able to receive. So if you're in a service only, doing mode, you wouldn't have been able to receive the magnificence and the beauty of that encounter that Bob experienced. And what it showed was his receptivity, his ability to receive and feel and recognize that that was a miraculous, extraordinary encounter, that being balanced with how we serve. So it's going to be, I think we're going to be refining from, you know, it's better to give than to receive, because we're going to be literally called to balance with our ability to receive so that we can serve. And so you brought up a cool thing for me, Bob, when you said, let me tell you about this experience I had. And so it brought up my experience. And I go on this incredible walk every day, and it's been 80 degrees out. And I walked past, I mean, it's like back in a forest, and I was walking down this road and going up like these curved hills and very quiet, no cars. And I came across this garden, these people that just, like, it was like looking at heaven on earth. And it was filled with magnolia trees and cherry blossoms, and the whole lawn, the whole perimeter was filled with daffodils. And I was just like, I kind of was pinching myself that I was having this pure experience of reception, of beauty, of these people didn't even know that. I was like, oh, please come out so I can tell you how beautiful this is. I was like, I walked back and forth and back and forth. So I leave there. This is a long, it's an hour walk every day. And I'm coming back down a hill, and I see the postal carrier. And I've known her for about a year, and she's so sweet, and she waves at me, and she pulls up. We tend to, like, high-five each other because we're always going at the same time. And she drives up, and I said, how are you? I won't give her name. And she said, I'm not good. I'm not good. And she started crying. And usually we have these wonderful, sweet, like, just, it's very deep and sincere and connected. And she ended up telling me how her boss had betrayed her. And I stayed with her for half an hour because I could tell she had no one to talk to about mm-hmm. something that was deeply affecting her heart.
Yeah.
So to me, what that teaching was about and what Christ was doing and what we're doing all together was what Bruce brought, was what Bob brought, what I brought. Hopefully you're integrating both the giving and the receiving here, is that we're worthy. Christ was worthy, obviously, to receive the highest gifts from God. And what he was doing when he was washing the feet of those people was saying, I'm transmitting that you are this worthy to receive the love and the connection, the miracle, like Bob said,
mm-hmm.
the love and the connection of the Father. And that's where, in this new era we're going into, the post-scarcity era, our ability to connect, create communities, be available in a really refined, beautiful way. Bob, in the morning, being open so that he could see that. Not everybody could see or experience that. Bruce being available to talk about, you know, how it relates to Scripture, and he can be quiet and he's thinking and he's in this beautiful space waiting for all this to go, quote unquote. And then me, with a really long-term practice of kind of walking in awe and then being able to share that spaciousness with somebody in need. Do you see the texture of that? That is the texture that I hope, which is what we do with the work, in the work we do, the texture of being able to be available in beautiful, refined nervous systems that are going to open up and flower when we get to bring our gifts, whatever your gifts are, whatever you're doing, to be able to walk in that kind of a state, just like this teaching, just like Bruce, just like Bob, like me, and most likely, hopefully this is triggering where you were like this too. Because we all have that in us. We just need to know how to stabilize it. So that's what I got out of the teaching.
Thank you, Sue. I thought that was really good. I like what you said. I like what Bob said, and I love the experiential aspect of it, the stories. I also love the fact that, Sue, you were available to the quote-unquote postal carrier that was driving by and that you gave her half an hour of your time with a listening ear. That shows that your gift shown today was a gift of compassion. And that you were, she needed a listening ear, she needed a shoulder to cry on, and you were there to give her that. That's what we would call a divine appointment. Because if she needed that help, you were there.
And people can tell when you're, it's about connection. She felt safe enough to really, she was losing it, and I was there for her. And sometimes a stranger is the person, quote-unquote a stranger, is a person that, and that to me is what we're all going to be able to do for each other.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you're right. Thank you. Exactly right. Well, thank you for that teaching, Sue. I thought it was wonderful. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was great. I got to wonder if that woman, Bob, we didn't get her name, but I wonder if that man was, in fact, her father or possibly her husband. I don't know. But anyway,
that's a whole I don't know if anybody
that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. I don't even want to even go there. That would be,
I don't
that would
even
be
go
like
there.
Opening up Pandora's box. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the
I'm
fun
not
thing
do
was
it on the big call.
She, yeah, really.
Oh,
she definitely you know, communicated God's love to the people in the breakfast room, Bob and everybody else that got to hear her. And maybe she was a little bit loud, but, you know, certainly it was a wonderful experience. And it was miraculous in a sense. I just thought it was great. I think that's good.
I think
more people should be like that. I love it. And, you know, I'm not afraid to talk to a stranger either. No, I do it all the time. So, Sue, thank you for that. Now, as we move into prayer and praise, did we get anything from Pastor Scott tonight? Yes,
no.
Sue?
No, we did not, and we didn't get anything from him on
Tuesday
either. Mm-hmm, this Tuesday.
I have a story I'm going to talk, say, in terms of making a prayer request. And I can do it when now, since it deals with Pastor Scott. Is that all right?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Well, Pastor Scott called me today, and he said the reason he wasn't on, he didn't have anything sent in to us for Tuesday, was because he's going through something with one of his daughters, and that it's kind of a whole thing that ended up being rectified, but it was a threatening situation for, I believe is the number, the 19-year-old daughter, and the family to an extent, and it ended up being something where the law had to be called in and taken care of it. Now, that's as far as I want to go with it. But, so I think we're turning that into a prayer request right now. Lord God, we just pray for Pastor Scott and the family, and specifically this daughter, that the situation was rectified and is no longer a threat to her or the family, to Pastor Scott, his wife, and the rest of the kids. Lord God, we just thank you for your hedge of protection around us and around Pastor Scott, and we just thank you that this situation was handled and handled effectively and that it's no longer an issue moving forward. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the love that is there, and thank you for his protection of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then at the end of my segment, I want to let you know something that came into my email box from someone we both know, Bruce, okay?
If you need to, yes. Okay. Secret code. Are you going to code it to me, Sue, or give it to me uncoded?
I don't know. That's as code as you can get. Okay. So what am I doing now? Oh, we're reading Genia. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
There with. Thank you, Genia. For prayers 4:16-26. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. John 11:25. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. Jesus' peace is enduring and internal. Jesus gives his peace freely, requiring no repayment and no hidden conditions. He gave us a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace he gave us is a gift the world cannot give us. Therefore, do not be troubled or afraid. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. Today we pray to our Heavenly Father, all the wonderful leaders and listeners, their health, finances, and well-being, RV blessing, R&R, tariffs, Doge, debt forgiveness, phone and computer, or just phone? Where's your little
just phone only.
Hint, right?
There's no computer.
I know. May the negotiation go well with Iran, world peace.
Yeah.
A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Winston Churchill. Blessings and peace to all on this call. Everyone have a blessed Easter season. Enjoy your weekend and stay safe. We
okay.
pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. And that's our
Thank
teaching.
You, Jeannie. Jeannie, I like that. And let me make a clarification. Yes, Zim holders, not everybody, Zim holders will get a Q phone, which is a satellite phone that works on the Starlink system. And we may, I believe it's gone back and forth, we may get a certificate. I believe they decided on Best Buy, a certificate for X number of dollars that you could take and buy any laptop or computer or whatever you want at Best Buy. Don't know what it's worth, you know, the certificate or whether we even need it or not, but that is, I think, the latest that we got on whether we'll get a computer. It looks like in the form of a certificate we'll get that, yeah. All right, so thank you. Sue, thank you for doing those prayer and praise requests. Was there anything you wanted to tell me now, or do I have to wait till the end of your segment?
Oh, that's good. Let me see. I think wait until the end of my segment. We'll stay focused on
okay.
this because it's important. And
okay.
then we'll tie it up with a little bit of intel that just arrived. So
right.
okay. via email. So
uh-huh. Yep.
That I'll just
that's
carry
fine.
That flag for Bruce. So
thank you, Sue.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to take you into your future a little bit, into the new frontier, and I'm going to show you some convergences that a lot of people, I'm beginning to understand, are not so aware of and not so prepared for. So a lot of the work that we do in the leadership group called the People of Divinity, People Pod, these are people that are committed to working on their projects and kind of being ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, how am I going to operationalize my projects? Who are the people I'm going to hire? What kind of nervous system do I have to have? How do I act as the new leader? 233 classes worth of wanting to invest in their highest Christ-led future. And it's getting really interesting to just notice sometimes the way different people communicate when they're reaching out to us. And here's something I want you to think about. In my world, which is connected to neuroscience and education, because of the coming AI wave, and it's impacting everybody, there's this new saying, so you might want to get your pen out, and I've revised it. Curiosity over. Curiosity over comfort.
choosing curiosity over comfort. And what I would do if I were you is I would start to think about disciplined curiosity over comfort. Because it's churning out that in the educational space, in the neuroscience space, in the X plus AI space, so take whatever you're doing and you're going to add AI, the next 100 years, we are going to see things that in the next 10 years, we are going to see a century worth of exponential change. 10 years, 2026 to 2036. Mm-hmm. So that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Harvard and Inc. magazine have both just this week published articles on how leaders can manage uncertainty. And the biggest thing for uncertainty is being uncomfortable with uncertainty. And it's at a record high. So what are they saying? I'm in a project where I'm working with neuroscientists and kind of helping people to upgrade how they learn. What is the number one thing you can do? Just like Winston Churchill said, you've got to get curious. You've got to get curious about how you can turn whatever this is into serving God. So I'm going to read you a couple of testimonials and give you something that will be profoundly supportive of you. When I show you, there are going to be a whole new slew of skills, and everybody that I'm around are talking about it. And what we've done to develop specifically humanitarian founders. I've also heard that only 18%, which is really interesting because it matches the article in Harvard or maybe it was Inc. magazine, only 18% of the people are self-led. That's number one. And 18% of currency holders are going to do something with their projects, really do something with their projects. Are you seeing the pattern here? Mm-hmm. You've got to be a person that is choosing curiosity over comfort. So if you're hanging around with people that aren't working on their projects, if you're not jumping on things and figuring things out about your projects, if you're not doing that, you're going to be like a pilot that gets thrown into a cockpit and doesn't know how to work the dials. It's a big thing. It's true. And unless you've had that skill developed in you, reminds me of being with a friend in Boston. She goes, okay, we're going to my garage. And I got into a Saab instead of another kind of car. And I was like, and the garage door was closing. I had to like figure it out. I had to figure it out in like a minute. It's going
to
be
how to work it all.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember that story too.
But she was,
you told me
it was crazy. And it's good to have the confidence that you can be a clutch player like that. A good thing. So anybody that's hearing that is relating. But listen to these stories, and I'm going to show you something really, really significant and why we do what we do, which is our passion, which is our self-leading, which is our research into things that are going to be new. Get curious about the new stuff, people, that are proven to work. Okay? You got to get curious. You got to move. You got to get some new things. This is from, and this is for the people in Arizona that are listening, from their friend, Mick G. Greetings, Sue. It gives me great pleasure to express my sincere gratitude for creating the Sovereign Endowment classes. Each time I do another endowment session,
I heed your advice to ask patiently, wait, and then listen to the guidance which is always there. My yearning to evolve and grow into the sovereign leader I am is now being accomplished. I'm delighted and amazed to flow through each day, eager to move forward as I prepare for what lies ahead. I feel ready and confident to be successful in every way. Thank you so much, Sue. So, a new book came out called We Are as Gods, it's only a day out, by Peter Diamandis and Stephen Kotler. And they're talking about what this era we're about to enter into. They have all the large data models. They took everything, they compiled it. And they're talking about the importance of cornerstone what we do, neurotheology and the new neuroscience markers for stabilizing people, stabilizing so that people can keep up with a world that's about to go Mach exponential. And this is serious, you guys, this is serious. What I'm saying to you, I just don't want people to be roadkill. And I mean it, seriously. If you think that you can just, you know, have fun, just have, you know, just coast along and not prepare your nervous system and love yourself, think of it like taking Boomer Boost, and yet the whole world is going to be going through something that your whole nervous system will be picking up. I ask you to question that logic. And here's what they're saying in this book. They're talking about a man by the name of Richard Davidson. I'm sure Bob knows who that is. And he's out of the University of Wisconsin. He's one of the leaders in mapping how certain states that are achieved through contemplation and meditation balance the nervous system. And they're talking about the future where, because the pace of change is going to be so great, the importance of synchronizing and slowing your mind down, which is where Bob was when he was, you know, in that space in the morning, being able to have the skill, which is the sovereign endowments. They are two-minute practices designed to stabilize your nervous system with scripture, with stories, but they give you how to get it into your body. There are 35 years of me having the lived experience and coaching people to train their nervous system. He found that, Richard Davidson found, in resting states, the ability for prolonged synchrony, like just a two-minute practice can get it so that you set it up. Just like Bob was thinking about that experience with a woman. You can be literally training your mind with the sovereign endowments and things like the worthy sovereign, stepping into what you have never experienced before, sustained by faith, not history. You guys, we can't take our old stories, our old habits, our old limitations, our old comfort over curiosity. You can't do that. But that's what most people do. They take what they know and they say, oh, I'm reading my scripture, but their nervous systems are shot. Uh-uh. That doesn't work. You've got to get it so that the body
is safe to receive the divine codes of the scripture, and now you've got real traction. Let me read you one more, a couple more. Here's another one. We have stayed at home today. We spent our time very slowly reading and practicing endowments. I'm realizing more and more about self with each reading of the endowments. Even repeating them expands and opens the curious mind. The last few weeks were challenging, blah, blah, blah. So-and-so has been totally into the endowments each time we do them, and then we explore a new one. So here's what I want you to think of. I have one more, too. Think about what the future that you're about to enter into. Just realize this. You're going to go to the Redemption Center. You're going to be getting into a med bed. You're going to be experiencing, and I'd like you to do this right now. Try to imagine what it's going to be like to have the new keys to your car, your new car credit debit card, to be walking around knowing that you're endowed with all these resources. And now you're going to have to get some new people in place. And you're going to be talking to your children. And you're going to be a radically, think about med bed, new car, new this, new that. And then people suggesting to you that this is the way you should go. This is what you do. Do you want to be the sovereign authority so that your nervous system is calm enough that you can tell, no, that doesn't feel right to me. This feels right to me. This is who I should go for. Or do you want to be led by all this stuff happening outside of you? Nervous systems react to change as if a smoke alarm was going off. Just think about that for a second. When I stack all that change in one space, most people's nervous systems can't literally wire for that, which is why we created the sovereign endowments in the first place. But what gets better is, what does it mean that all these researchers that know about the change that is about to happen, writers like Stephen Kotler of the Flow Institute, who are studying how people are going to have to adapt to a whole new experience of change. It's not like this slow life that you're used to right now, where you're just doing the thing, you don't have enough money, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, how is your body and your mind and your spirit going to work well so that you make choices that work? I could find one more. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it possible until next Tuesday. We're launching a new class called The Final Frontier, and this is for people that are deeply committed to bringing the highest, that's the 15 to 18%, that makes sense. We announced the class this afternoon, and within 15 minutes, people were signing up. 15 minutes, boom, like this. Those are the people that are putting curiosity over comfort because they know that the better that they can see, the better that they can hire, the better they're prepared to not get into that cockpit and be overwhelmed with all the dials, all the things, everything they have to know, but slow it down and be prepared. What are they doing? They're opening to receive so they can serve. Big new thing. They make the space. They make the commitment
because they're so curious, how can I be the best version of myself as a new founder of a new way of redesigning? This class is really about going from work, it's all in the research that's coming out, to meaning and creation. It's a whole new world. And if you're not exploring that, thinking about that, wondering about it, getting curious, investigating it, saying, what am I going to do on my team? I don't know. You ask yourself, do you just like being comfortable with the way it is right now, or are you excited about what is possible when your curiosity moves through you? So what we're going to do is we're going to make the Sovereign Endowments available until next Tuesday. Okay? Till next Tuesday. And think of them as, you heard the testimonials. We had one other couple, and they said the same thing, that they were, that they just in 4 days, I can't find it, in 4 days they couldn't get over how more confident they were, how they've been practicing them together. And why is the Sovereign Endowment so cool? Because they take scripture, but they pair it with these 2 minutes, which has been studied, so we have all the research in this booklet, 2 minute practices that train your nervous system paired with scripture to heighten your new identity as a person that's going to be carrying, not carrying, but literally steering, shaping how this, the future of the world is going to be. You're not a regular person anymore. You're a reality shaper. Please get that in your head. You're not going to be a consumer. You're going to be a reality shaper. You're going to be building teams that are shaping how our world looks. Do you think that might require a little skill and a little skill upgrade and a little identity upgrade? I don't know. You answer. It's fun. It's really fun. So here's what you can do. If you're interested in the Sovereign Endowments, just put endow and send it to integratedminds@hushmail.com and put your name, your telephone number, and whether you have PayPal or not, and we will respond to you. And I just want to give a shout out to Sandra, and who else do I want to, because there are a couple of people that we wrote to, and Roy. And
Roy.
Roy and Sandra, like, where are you? It's like people that send us emails, that we just, it's like, where'd they go? So we just want to use the platform to say that. And realize this, the more you can get curious, and hopefully this spikes you to be curious. I mean, when we're telling you that these things are going to help you, like, recover your nervous system and be grounded so you can walk into a future which will be very uncertain, would that be, and it's scientifically proven to stabilize you in a deeper way using scripture, I don't know. Is that a good pairing for you? Is that a delicious meal? So, integratedminds@hushmail.com, Sovereign Endow, you know it's Endow. Now, endow me, that would be good. And that's our offering. And thank you, Bruce, for the opportunity to get so many people. And I want to give a shout out to the pod. They're just the most committed. They're so diligent. They're so committed. They're so into it. They love to learn. And they're just, like, mind-blowing humanitarians. And I just have to thank the Big Call, you, Bruce, and the pod for their incredible commitment. And they're going to be the ones that really, really change the world. So that's my segment for tonight. And then I guess I'm going to look up our...
Yeah, thank you, Sue. Tell me what it is that you've received.
Okay.
And
I received an
email. I don't know if I need to code it or not. What did you get?
No. I'm just going to read what I got. I don't know why it came to me. Probably because it's an email. Here it is. I have your approval to read this, but I know you, there's nothing you can do, so I'm just going to do it. Here we go. Bombshell announcement. I mean, we're both having to trust that this bombshell announcement, $166 billion refund wave incoming, massive tariff payout system goes live. Genia, I can hear you jumping up and down right now. Goes live April 20th. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that would be on Monday. Yeah.
Yep. So let me read it one more.
Okay, read it again slowly, Sue, so
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out what the 166, whatever it was. Let's hear what that
is.
Yeah.
You know who's coming from. Bombshell announcement. $166 billion refund wave incoming.
Okay. The refund wave, I think, is tax refunds. That's what that is.
No, this is what they're...
From
this is
past
what the,
tax season.
Massive,
yeah, that's what that
tariff,
is.
Massive tariff payout system.
Mm-hmm.
So is the taxes and the tariff the same thing? Goes live April 20th. So that's really massive tariff payout system goes live April 20th.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah. So it's however you want to interpret it. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Sue.
That's what we got.
I think
that
I
came in
got the
31
impression of what
ago.
That is. Thank you. Very, very good.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for your segment, Sue. And thank you for that piece of intel. I think I can understand and interpret what that is talking about. So that's good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, really. It kind of dovetails in with what I have for my intel segment anyway. So I think it's good.
Good.
All right. Well, Bob, you're back in the saddle again. Sale is ongoing. People are taking advantage of half-price products of 8 of our products, not all, but 8 of them. If they buy 3 or more of any one or more products, they get them all for 50 off of this specific group of 8 products only. So,
yeah,
just have to put that out there. Right, Bob?
That's it. It's a really great sale. 50% off anytime you can get 50% off of these types of products. It's an awesome day.
That's right. Really.
So definitely check it out. And also, just wanted to tell you a couple things, Bruce. The Tampa Bay Rays are in first place in the American League.
Okay.
They're ahead of the Yankees. They're ahead of the Boston Red Sox. They're ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. And they're ahead of the team that played in the World Series last year, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah.
So we expect them to stay in first place for the entirety of the 162-game season.
There you go.
They have currently played 1/16th of the season. So...
a lot more to go. Yeah.
And for people that are listening that may have watched professional basketball back in the 1960s and 70s, one of the top 3 to 5 players in the league was a guy named Rick Barry. And he's in the Hall of Fame. And I got to have lunch with Rick Barry on Tuesday. He was at the conference I went to, and it was just Rick and me sitting together at lunch, and I got to ask him all kinds of questions about how it was that he was such a great player. And, Sue, you would have been fascinated by this. from one standpoint, and Bruce, you would have been fascinated too, and he described to me how he would create a twitch or a flinch in the defensive player. And he would hold the ball, and he would do something with his body or his head, and he would watch the reaction of the defender. Mm-hmm. And based on the facial expression or a slight body movement of the defender, he would make his move. And
wow.
He was known as being the best one-on-one basketball player of that time. So if you only had one person covering him, he was very likely to score a basket. And he scored many, many thousands of them and was very famous. And it was fascinating because he was describing it to me. I had asked him the question, how was it that you were the greatest one-on-one player of that era? And as he was describing it, my body and my face was twitching. And he was doing things in his answer to the question. He was doing the things that he used to do that made the other player twitch. And he would stop and he'd go, see that? You just twitched. You just did this. He goes, right when you did that, he's like, I would switch the ball in my left hand and drive this way and get you caught on my shoulder. Because I wouldn't even have to drive by you, but as soon as I got there, I was going to score the basket. And he went on for 20 minutes describing how he was the best one-on-one player, possibly in history. And anyway, I got to learn all that. And he got to learn all about brain-derived nootropic factor and about epigenetic reprogramming and inflammation. And I talked to him about his bone-on-bone in his left knee and how his collagen was going to fix that. And as of Tuesday, Rick Barry is now a consumer of Boomer products.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He lives right nearby me. He lives only 25 minutes from my house. So I'm going to go down and visit him because I didn't have any collagen with me. I was able to give him some super strong and Myotrol and barley and Boomer Boost, but I didn't have any collagen, so I'm going to meet him down by his house and bring him some next week.
That's cool, Bob.
And we got a bunch of testimonials and way too many to read, so I'm just going to read a couple. And this one guy sent in a picture of himself with what looks like either his wife or his girlfriend, or I don't know, maybe he loves his sister this much, but he sent a picture of the two of them. They just look so freaking happy and in love. It's just crazy. And
so
he wrote in, I've been taking your products for many years. I start my morning with it and I eat breakfast about 4 hours later. Love it. And here's a lady writing about collagen. I had joint pain in my lower extremities for over 3 years. Walking was difficult. After 1 week, I have very little discomfort and can walk upright and straight. This is from taking collagen for just a week, and she straightened up and walking. And to me, this is one of these things. This just reminds me of how complex the human body is and how brilliant Eric Kurtz is in the way that he creates these products. And if you study genetics and epigenetics and genetic expression at all, you can get lost in the weeds very, very quickly about all the detail that occurs in these chemical reactions that are related to health and wellness and functionality, and then to realize that in order to master epigenetic reprogramming, Eric actively studied, researched, and experimented in his laboratory for 6 years. And as a result of that, brought us Myotrol and Collagen. And I'm going to send this testimonial to him tomorrow so he can see it. This is how he receives affirmation of the effectiveness of his inventions, his testimonials we get. And
that's right.
Another person wrote in about Boomer Boost, says, been taking Boost for many years. Next month I'll be 86. Boomer Boost certainly gives me a boost.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
This person writing about Myotrol, continuing to take it with my dynamic combo, and I'm feeling younger every day. Here's one person taking our barley. I'm feeling more alert and happy again. Then we got this one about Good Night Formula. I was not sleeping much at all, but now with Good Night Formula, I sleep so good and sound. Thank you so much. And this keeps going on. We got another testimony about collagen and somebody's knees. Another one of collagen. Person's, it's easier to walk downstairs. Then we got a bunch of them came in about Super Strong. And this one says, pain in both my shoulders and knees is now much better thanks to Super Strong Relief.
There you go.
Thanks. Awesome. He sent in a picture with his Super Strong in front of a beautiful flower vase. It's really cool.
There you go.
Anyway, they just go on and on. And, you know, one other thing, you know, we get from time to time, we get testimonials where something that absolutely should be working for somebody, it doesn't work. And sometimes it's just a matter of the time of day you take the product, or it's a matter of did you take it with food or without food, and, you know, other factors like that. And then there's other times where it just simply is not going to work for somebody. And usually the reason for that is something that they were born with. So, for example, BDNF, right? BDNF is crucial for life. Without BDNF, you can't live. You wouldn't even... If you were born without the ability to...
Tell them what it is, Bob, because they don't know what BDNF is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So BDNF is a protein that's made in your brain, and it stands for brain-derived nootropic factor. And it's a growth factor of sorts that helps your brain to grow... To have neurogenesis, where you grow new cells and you also grow new connections, synaptic genesis, and you also it also helps with neuroplasticity, the ability of these new synapses to rewire and connect parts of your brain that you know, are responding to activity. And it also is responsible for your mind-body connection. So, like, if you were literally, Rick Barry was explaining to me what happens with his thoughts and then the actions that occur based on what he's thinking and responding to from other people. And this is, BDNF is involved in that too. It's a translator that changes a thought or an observation into an actual action where your muscles react, because you have BDNF receptors not only in your brain but also in your muscles. But sometimes the desired benefit you would expect from taking Myotrol, which is activating the gene that allows you to make more BDNF, right? And some people have trouble their whole life of being lethargic or having low energy, low response time, like that. And it's usually related to damage in the gene that is coded for producing BDNF. So for your brain to make BDNF, you have to express the gene, also called BDNF, that allows for it to be produced. But some people, right at that genetic level, right in the gene, they have what are called SNPs. And a SNP is a singular nucleotide polymorphism. So it's a change. It's not really a SNP. It's not really a cut, but it's an aberration in the structure of that gene at a chemical basis. And in the case of BDNF, there's 8 different kinds of SNPs that you could have in that gene. There's one common one. So even if you take Myotrol and are able to stimulate the gene for BDNF, it's not producing healthy BDNF. It's producing SNPed BDNF. And so just because you produce more doesn't mean you're going to feel better, right? Now, 99% of the people don't have SNPs in their BDNF gene, but every once in a while, every 300 or 400 people that use Myotrol will say, well, it didn't work at all for me. I didn't feel anything, right? And that's most likely the reason why that you don't. And so very sadly, sometimes we have to tell people, we thought for sure this would help you with this or that. This product would help for this or that. And it just seemingly, inexplicably does not help. But it's really not inexplicable. It's most likely, you know, because of a SNP. If it's from methylation later in life, you can still get around that because the gene is still intact and you can penetrate the attached methyl group with a product like Myotrol. And even though a methylation and a SNP act the same, the later in life changes to the surface of the gene are penetratable. But if you're born with a SNP, there's not a lot that can be done at this moment, okay? But a lot of diseases that are genetic diseases, and there's about 10,000 of them still left that we don't have cures for yet, are damaged genes like this that we now are able to analyze and actually produce a medication that fixes it and cures that disease. And that happened for sickle cell anemia just last year. Right, and certain types of diabetes now they have a cure for. And there's a huge push, mostly because of MAHA, RFK Jr.'s initiative. He has a big push to incentivize the drug companies to come up with cures for these diseases. And he's removing the bureaucratic barriers to those discoveries and incentivizing a big push to finally, once and for all, solve the problem of things like Huntington's chorea, an absolutely devastating, lethal disease that just destroys families. And very soon we'll have a cure for that. And so these genetic aberrations, we are now able to actually fix them. And so when Sue was talking about the explosion of change in the world, and to, fasten your seatbelt and, start to rewire your brain to be able to handle the massive changes. These are some of the things we're talking about, right? Don't forget, right, there was no such thing as epigenetic reprogramming until we talked about it here on the big call 18 months ago, okay? Sure. And now look at these testimonials that are rolling in with people that are getting relief that no other way ever that they tried would help them until these new inventions came about, okay? And it's going to go on and on and on. Where do you see the next one Eric is coming out with? And it's going to be phenomenal. And so this is what Sue's referring to, right? Get ready. If you can be one of the lucky ones that fits into that course, because probably nothing's more important in your preparation for the future than that type of adaptive, synapses, adaptive nervous system, adaptive and flexible and resilient synaptic reorganization, as things occur that seem like science fiction or like you're still dreaming. And that's going to happen over and over and over again. And when quantum computers fully come online and start regularly every day assessing information from parallel universes, you want to be ready for that. And so, Bruce, just to remind people, we got those 8 products on sale. Get 3 and you get 50% off all of them. And you can mix and match, but it's just from that choice of those 8 products. And that's what I have, Bruce. It's 23 minutes after 10.
Okay.
And you're listening to The Big Call.
You still are. Hopefully you're still listening to The Big Call. Yes. Hopefully we haven't lost the East Coast yet. But it is getting late, but I can do the intel. And thank you, Bob. You know, it's important to realize people go, well, how do we get to your site, Bob? Well, you go to bigcalluniverse.com. That's my site. At the top, you'll see a banner that says Boomers. It's a direct link to Bob's website. Click on it. Boom. You're into the Boomer website. And then you can go through, pull down the product menu and the on sale tab. And you can see the 8 different products that Bob's talking about that you can get 50% off if you buy 3 or more. And I got my order in. I think I got it in a couple of days ago. So I got that. And that's the way you do it. Most everybody, we're at 98.78% of the people make their orders online from that site. And then there's a few like me that call in because of one reason or another. And so the customer support is really good at Boomers, and the 800 number for customer support is 800-861-4609. 800-861-4609, and that's good 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Eastern Daylight Time. So take advantage of it. Call only if you need to, but the rest of the time you can just do right online, and you'll be all set. Take advantage of these products. There are quite a few that are really important products to keep your health exactly what it needs to be. All right, so listen, that takes care of Bob's section. Thank you, Bob, for that. I just love hearing about the research, BDNF, epigenetic reprogramming, everything. I find it really cool. And Bob is curious, just like Sue is curious, and I am curious in different ways. And so it's good that we're getting this information early because we're on the leading edge of technology, not only in terms of med beds and energy and that, but we're also on the leading edge in terms of Eric Kurtz and what's happening with these products that are coming. I can't wait to hear what the next new product will be coming from Eric Kurtz, but that's for another time. Well, let's get into where we are on the Intel phase of everything tonight. There were some movements that took place in the way of Iran. And you know, it's not all about Iran, and it's not all about Iraq, but every time we think we're ready to get started, something comes up regarding one or the other. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, what's the latest? So here's the latest that we got out of Iraq. And this came in this came in yesterday. And it said that, you know, we have a new president of Kurdistan, which is the northernmost province in Iraq. And that's Nasir al-Mehdi, I believe it's pronounced. Nasir al-Mehdi. And he's the president of Kurdistan. Okay, where does that leave Prime Minister Sudani? Well, it looks like Sudani is being reinstalled as Prime Minister of Iraq, and that is supposed to occur tomorrow, which is Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. One of those 3 days, he should be reinstalled, if you will, as Prime Minister. Now, there is no more parliament with Iraq. They've done away with the parliament, and instead they have a council, something like what we would have as a cabinet, okay? So they have a council, which is probably going to be a lot better for them than the parliament, which was always seemingly a problem. So that is happening, and I believe that that council has been appointed already. So what we're looking for is the installation of Sudani to continue as prime minister. All right, and of course, that's a good thing. So let's see what else. So that takes us all the way to Sunday. And then we have to wait on this, supposedly bringing a new rate to Iraq Sunday, Sunday night, which will be on the 4X. And we'll see it on our screens essentially in the morning. Bank screens, center screens. We heard what it could be, but it's just to put a number up there. We know where we're going to be if it's our role, you know, in terms of a contract rate at the redemption center only, not banks. If you're aware of that, if you have any dinar, the Iraqi dinar. Okay? So that's that. Now, what else? What about Iran? Well, I'm understanding that the Shah of Iran does not want to prolong his capabilities using technology. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so he is out of the picture, and I do not know who President Trump is going to be meeting with from Iran, but this will be whoever's in there next will be a handpicked candidate. And you know who's picking the candidate. I don't think we have to talk about that. So that is a good thing. This will be somebody that we can work with in Iran. When is that supposed to happen? By Monday. Supposed to have that candidate picked up, sorted out, and started. Now, they already know what type of government they want to put together, but this is probably a series of meetings that will be over the weekend where we'll have that ready to go. And I think that President Trump is definitely pushing for peace as opposed to bombing them into the Middle Ages. Or into the Stone Age, really. It'd be more like the Stone Age. I know he wants diplomacy first, and he's always looked at that first instead of military action. But sometimes he had to do what he had to do, and I'm glad he did it that way. Now, Iran should come back on. We're squeezing them financially big time. because of the oil, the fact that we've got a blockade in the Strait of Hormuz, and they basically are running out of time. So that's one reason the timing is looking like we should have what we need by Monday with Iran. Now, what else is going on with okay, this is pretty simple. We've got the information, as I've told you guys, with new NDAs, it's not like we can get a whole lot of the same sources speaking with us that we've had in the past. It's a little bit tight out there. A lot of new NDAs, a lot of people are clammed up. They want it that way, and that's an indicator of how close we are. The fact that very few people are getting through and talking to us is actually a good thing. It tells us how close we really are to going. The latest information that I have, which was earlier today, is pointing toward our notifications coming out, and this is based on the information about Iran and Iraq both, should be coming out about Tuesday or Wednesday of this coming week. And so with exchanges to follow, which would probably be a Wednesday or a Thursday start. So that is as close as we are right now without the idea of getting it right now, this weekend, which is starting essentially, sometimes the bankers and people consider the weekend to start Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we should get some action. Early next week could turn into middle of next week. It's supposed to be early next week, which I read as Monday, Tuesday, but it might be more like Tuesday, Wednesday because of the Iranian factor and getting the new leader of Iran agreed to and in place. But let's see how that goes. As you guys know, we are under basically a military operation, and the word is it could change from moment to moment. And we've seen that. We've seen that quite a bit. And hopefully the information about tariff dividends coming out starting on the 20th, which is Monday, I think that could very well be true. We've been looking for those coming out to us for a while now. And that's just the first fruits of everything. Hold on one sec. I'll be right back.
Bob.
Okay, I'm back again.
Okay.
So here's the deal. When we receive the intel, it's always timely. It seems like it's good to go. We're ready. We know when we're going. We were expecting it by Thursday, Friday, or the weekend, and now it looks like early to mid next week. And guys, they are not going to pull the trigger until all the ducks are in a row. The military has the final say. Well, obviously, President Trump is commander-in-chief. So in a sense, he's got the final say, but he's got other people that he's working with that help him make that decision. And once that decision is made, it goes to Treasury. Treasury gives the green light to Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo gives the green light for the emails to come out to us with the 800 number. And then we set our appointments through the call center using AI, but they kick us over on that call to a live, real human being at the redemption center that seems closest to us based on the zip code that you enter in the keypad when they ask for it. That is the theory of how all that's going to come together. So I'm excited about that, and when that happens, it'll be great. Now, we will also post the 800 number for the United States, and we may have one for Canada. We'll see what happens. and then we'll put that on BigCallUniverse.com. And then, of course, we'll send out an email to everybody that we have registered to receive an email. Bob and Raleigh will get that out to everybody with a short message with it, and you'll get that, and that way you'll have it. Now, we're going to do the very best we can to verify that the number that we have is bona fide and the real McCoy, okay? Because you know how things are. We just don't know what some people might try to do. But we're going to do the best we can to put the real number on our website and the real number in an email that will go out to you. But if you do get an email from Wells Fargo, it'll be from the Wells Fargo servers. I don't know what the header is going to be on it, but whatever it is, if you open it up, make sure it's legit. Make sure it looks like it is absolutely the real McCoy. And that's how that's supposed to go. One thing about med beds, realize that when it comes to the med beds, they are free for us to use. So we're going to use them at no cost. There's no cost to register for a med bed. And there's no registration for training about a med bed at this time. Military is in charge. Military is still doing it. They are putting military people through with lost limbs, with all kinds of injuries, healing them in 30 to 35 minutes in the med bed completely. It's absolutely fascinating. We know of, so far, personally know of 15 military that have been healed in med beds in one area. And that's really cool. And it's great for them. They got first shot at it. We're going to go next. We'll go pretty soon. And you should be able to get in if you are a ZIM holder, and if you have dire need, you should be able to get in approximately 5 or 6, they call it a week, 7 days. Okay? So, something to look forward to. In the meantime, which is where we are, 2 things to do. 1, take advantage of Bob's sale of these 8 products at 50% off when you buy 3 or more from Boomers. And 2, take advantage while supplies last for Sue's endowment or sovereign endowment or endow in the subject line, E-N-D-O-W, endow, $100 to get the audio downloads of the class, plus about a 70-page booklet that you could put together. It's more of a book, not a booklet. It's a book that you can download and print out of everything that the class is talking about. So take advantage of it by sending Sue an email to Integrated Minds, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-E-D, Integrated Minds, M-I-N-D-S, at hushmail.com. And then put in the subject line, endow, 100. That's $100. Let her know if you have PayPal or if you don't have PayPal. And she'll work something out with you on that if you don't. Put your name and your cell phone number in the body of the email. So she'll have that. She won't use it to call you. She might use it maybe if she needed to text you as a last resort. And if she sends you an email and it's your turn to respond back, let's say she sent you an invoice and all of a sudden it's crickets, respond. Watch your email and make sure if she sends you something, you respond back with it, okay? Okay, and so remember, I'll let her talk about that. The new class that she's talking about next week, I think. So we'll see when that happens. And I don't know that that's already partially filled up, but I know it's partially filled already. But send that if you want to get the sovereign endowment, or just put E-N-D-O-W, endow, and she'll send that on to you as audio downloads from the 2 classes, and they're links that you just click on, and you can listen to it at your own pace. And you'll have the booklet that you can print out and follow behind. So, keep that in mind, and let's do this. With everything we've talked about so far, let's go ahead and thank everybody. So I just want to thank Sue for doing a wonderful job tonight, as always. And Bob, good to have him back on, and all the information that is present with him was great. And thank you, Jeannie, Pastor Scott, you keep hanging in there and doing well. And much success for you and your family. And Jeannie, thank you for continuing to send us great stuff. And GCK and Greg, and Greg, thank you. And I might be forgetting someone. And thank you very much, Big Call Universe, for listening for 15 years. And you know what, guys? Patience is the faith, continuing to have faith for something. That's what patience is. And that's what we are, and that's what we have. So thank you for your patience. All right, let's pray out the call. By the way, satellite team, thank you as well for getting the signal out all over the globe with Starlink. So let's go ahead and pray out the call. Lord God, thank you for the big call. Thank you for Big Call Universe. Thank you for our guests and our hosts. And thank you for the information that we have. And thank you for bringing more and better information every time we talk. Thank you for all that you're doing to prepare us for this incredible blessing. And thank you for the blessing itself coming. Help us to be great stewards of it as we do the right thing with the money that's coming in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And everybody have a great night and weekend, and we will look forward to seeing you and talking with you on Tuesday night. Okay? So God bless everybody. Good night.